Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. The R-Rated Podcast. This week's guest is... Welcome back to the R-Rated Podcast. Today's new guest is Carly Yusei, and she's a creative in the industry.
First of all, welcome.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited. Of course. I wanted to ask you where you're from and what brought you to LA if you're not from LA.
Yeah, that's like the question that you ask everyone when you're here. Yeah. Nobody's from here. I was born in Louisiana.
Cool.
Yep, whole family's from there. Nice. And then I grew up in Scottsdale, Arizona. So
nice.
Moved there when I was young and then went to high school there, went to college there, ASU, studied business, which is so...
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So totally far off. Like every other girl in America, like, I think I'll just go into business marketing.
Yeah.
Graduated from there and then... moved to LA to pursue acting as my career.
So when were you like, okay, I want to go from business marketing to acting? Like what
I never wanted to do business marketing. Oh, okay. I just was like, I don't know. Like I picked a broad like major because I didn't know what I wanted to do in my life.
Right.
And then the first summer of college, I moved to LA to intern for the summer.
Okay.
And I actually worked for a talent agency.
Nice.
And I was like, spent the whole summer like submitting people.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, I want to like, I want to be on the other side of this. Yeah. And I've always been like such a performer. When I was younger, I was a dancer.
Yeah.
I was in theater camp. Like I was just like
super
one of those kids.
Yeah.
I just never thought about taking it seriously because it's like, it's a whole one in a million thing. So I, after the talent agency, I was like, wait, I really want to pursue acting. Like, this feels like a fit for me.
Yeah.
And so when I moved back home, I started going to, you know, acting classes and taking it more seriously.
Yeah.
And I just was like, I want to move to LA and I want to do this.
What did your parents say when you were like, okay, I want to be an actress?
They were so supportive.
Okay, so good. So it was never
My dad was like, you're finishing college.
Okay.
And I was like, fair.
Yeah.
Deal. And he's like, you need a degree.
Yeah.
Like, and then, I mean, it's your life. Whatever you want to do with it, go get them.
Do you think your business degree helped you with, like, the jobs that you've gotten so far?
For sure. For sure. Because, I mean, acting, too, it's a business at the end of the day. And I think I have an interesting lens, especially, like, my first, you know, experience with it was on the business side and working with the talent agency.
Yeah.
So, for me, it's, like, I can wrap my head around it being a business. Business, like, I'm not as emotionally, like, involved when things, you know, differently or kind of a thick skin in a sense.
That's good.
Yeah.
Kind of need that for this.
You definitely need a thick skin.
What was, like, your day-to-day, like, at the talent agency? Like, what did they have you do? And because you were an intern, too, right? So was
it an intern, but, like, it was paid.
Oh, that's great.
It was paid.
That's awesome.
I totally was, like, they were great. They were awesome.
Yeah.
They taught me so much. And they gave me, like, so many reins to do whatever. Like, I wasn't an intern getting coffee.
Yeah.
I mean, sure. I get the coffee from people sometimes.
Like, here and there, but.
But
it wasn't, like, the main thing.
No, and they really let us, like, read the breakdowns and, like, look at, you know, their roster and really, like, kind of ourselves make a decision on who we think of the roster would, like, be best to pitch. And then, like, send that to, you know, our bosses and, like, let them make, obviously, the final decisions.
Wow.
So, which also... now as an actor I'm like, oh, so like interns are making these decisions.
Oh my god. Yeah.
not you know, totally
like level one, right?
1,000%.
Like, just like the first person to like see like the photo, like how does that work? Like, are you guys like looking at all these like set cards or like a
kind of like a breakdown will come in and obviously you have your roster and you have like, you know, everyone's their ethnicity, their hair color, their age range, all of that is like already in our system.
Okay.
And when a breakdown comes through, it's kind of like, okay, this is what we're looking for.
Right.
This ethnicity, this, you know, age, this height, whatever. And then you go in your roster and you're like, do we have people who match this and could we see them in this role or whatever?
Right.
So it's just like a lot of that. Some were like really specific about what they wanted, like tatted, tall, beard. And you're like, oh, we've got two guys.
Right.
Here's that. And some of them were so broad. Some of them were like, any ethnicity, mom. And it's like, okay.
Well, that could be anybody.
Literally, which was fun because then you could kind of submit more people and get like more people seen. And I think that when people are so broad, it's like they do have more of, you know, a feeling of what they want, but they kind of want to see a bunch of different things because that could change.
Right.
So it was just...
So you narrow it down to like maybe like maybe like down to like 5 or like 10.
Like a hand, yeah, 10 or 5, depending on like what they were like. If it was really specific, obviously we didn't have a lot of people to like apply to this. But if it was broad, like we could, you know, submit like 10 to 15.
And then it goes up to like your boss or like the main.
The agent, yeah, who's like actually working there. And they also, like, I wasn't the one totally making decisions, but it was just like a jump start.
Right. Like, it's like we look
already read the breakdown. Right. Here is like our people in our roster that match this. Yeah.
So why did you, are you still doing that or how come you're not doing it?
I didn't ever get into it, honestly.
Okay.
Like it just triggered me to be like, I want to be on the other side. Yeah. I want to be an actor.
Yeah.
So I first moved out here. I was still finishing my degree like online. Mm-hmm. So I was still juggling school. And then I, you know, worked really odd jobs when I moved out here.
As we all do in LA,
restaurant jobs, clothing store, the whole nine yards. And then I was just juggling all of that while finishing school and like getting an agent, getting a manager, and just like starting that whole process.
Was that an easy process to do?
No.
Okay. I was like, wait, not. So like, where do you start with that?
It's so hard. And it's so funny because I think when you first move here, you look for answers and you like ask people.
Right.
Everyone's journey looks so different.
I know
someone's like, I was just walking at Whole Foods and someone put me in a movie. And I'm like, that's just not the case for so many people. Must be nice, right? Like my mom's like, I just know you're going to be in Ralph's. And someone's going to be like, no.
Oh my God, that would be amazing.
Yeah. So it's so overwhelming. Yeah. But I just jumped into classes.
Okay.
Because that's one thing you can like have full control over. So I just started taking classes and I got lucky and my coach got me in contact with her manager and like then that's kind of how I got my representation. But
and how do you know, like, from an, like, when you're like an actor, an actress, like, how do you know, like, okay, this agent's like actually like good and legit, or when how do you know you're not getting tricked into some scam or something?
There's obviously you can like Google and like whatever, but a lot of them, I mean, when you start out acting, and even now still I'm still a part of like boutique agencies and boutique managements, because you know the big ones see it, you know,
are they really hard to get, like,
I mean, you have to be well known to get into
but
this.
How can you be well known
if you start booking little things here and there, and as you get your name out, then it
they're like okay,
but it's almost for me, I like a boutique agency or management because they're just as hungry as you are to like get
it's not like they don't want to get you work, like that's their
1,000% 1,000%
okay, so it's kind of like trial and error, like with like you don't know necessarily if they're gonna be like the perfect fit for your group, but you know, like it's probably gonna have your best interest.
You could listen. I had a horror story.
Tell
like
me a horror story.
I got an interview with an agent.
Okay.
It was like my first one out here.
Okay.
I was like 21. I was like, okay, this is gonna be good. Like I'm gonna go crush it. I memorized my monologue. I'm like, I go to Venice to this like crowded office.
Okay.
Like I thought I was being punked. I really thought I was being punked. She like calls me up to her loft space.
Okay.
And there's like all these people like working at their desks.
Okay.
And there's like a chair and she like sits me down. She starts asking me questions and she's really like dismissive. She's not really paying attention.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, like I'll have you like read your monologue, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I start my monologue. I shit you not. Her phone rings in the middle of it and she fully answers it.
No.
Yep. Fully, I was
she's not even like, do you
do
like
I keep going? Do I stop?
Do you keep
like,
going?
No, of course not. I was like, I stopped. And she was like yelling.
I think it
was like,
crying.
She took a full like 15-minute phone call. And I'm just sitting
but
there.
But didn't
like,
say like, oh, like
no,
sorry.
No, nothing.
Like,
I was like waiting for Ashton Kutcher to like pop
be like,
out of the
you,
no, literally. So
what happens after the phone call?
She just was like, okay, like thanks so much for your time. I was like itching to get out of there too. I was not like,
experiencing that, like, I'm like, how are you feeling after?
Honestly,
like,
I started fucking laughing after.
Oh
I
my god,
even,
that's
I
a
was
great
like,
way to go.
Because I was like, this can't be real.
Right.
Like, also, bye. I don't want you to freaking
yeah, if
be
she
my
can't even
agent.
Do the
yeah.
Time of day
like,
now,
in like, no, that's know. Like, in no world do I want you to represent me.
No.
At all. And
no.
I could just like sense there was like other clients of hers there. Mm. And I could just like sense that I like
wasn't
like,
good energy at all.
Wasn't a good environment at all. So I. Yeah,
so
I like left,
like,
and I was like on to the next.
Yeah,
literally.
And then you found someone. So how long after that did you find your agent?
That was like a couple months after that,
okay.
And then I got connected with a manager. Sat down with her. She was amazing. Their office was pristine. It was like so fun, and she was just like, "Yeah, let's do it." Like,
is it common to have both an agent and
yes,
a manager?
Yes, oh, it okay. is very common. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Is that like necessary, or if you had a,
it's not. No, it's not necessary. But for me. For me, with my experience, my managers, like, I get more auditions through my managers than my agents.
Okay.
I don't know why that is.
Yeah. Yeah, I always wonder that. I'm like, is it better?
I don't know if my manager just has a smaller roster than my eight. I don't know. Right. But for me, my experiences has been my manager kind of gets me more. So
right.
But I mean, agents are great too.
What was your first acting gig?
Oh God. Well, I mean, I've done some like, I did some short films back in Arizona. Yeah. And then obviously I've done some like student short films here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing, you know, crazy. Yeah. No, but happened.
Hey, you got to start somewhere, right?
I know you got to start somewhere. And it's just like it's just the auditioning process. Like just
what is,
one
what is
after
that
another,
like?
After another, after another. Well, right now it's dead zero.
Right. So you're affected by the strike right now too.
Yeah, everyone. Right. I mean, nothing's really being made.
I'm like, am I the only one?
No. Nobody's the only one. It's a crazy time right now. But
and then before it was the pandemic. So was it even the same as like it was like before the pandemic?
The pandemic was weird. The pandemic actually shifted to now where I'm working in the entertainment industry. Like, so before the pandemic, I was working at the restaurant, I was working at a clothing store, and then I lost all, I was nannying.
Right.
And then I lost all my jobs.
Because of the pandemic. Yeah. Nothing was going on.
Yep. And my dad was like, figure it out. Like, you're going to have to move home. And I was like, no way.
I'm not moving home. Yeah. Yeah.
No way in hell.
I know. When that threat comes, like, no.
No, literally no way in hell am I moving home.
Yeah.
So before the pandemic, I was also freelancing, like fashion events.
Yeah.
So like fashion events would come to LA and I would like work, you know, front of house stuff.
Cool. So yeah. What would you do, for example?
Kind of like, I freelanced for a company that was based out of New York, but they did like a lot of events in LA. And so they would like come and there'd be like a whole fashion show. And then you would like show up the day of and like, you know, make sure that everyone's like, you know, whether it's on the carpet, taking pictures or showing them to their seats or just like the logistics at the front of the house.
Yeah.
Doing that. So I did that for a while before the pandemic. And then obviously all events stopped, but networking, one of them in February had like sent out like a thing that one of their clients, their high net worth clients, like needed someone to work for them.
Oh.
And so I sent my resume, forgot I sent my resume. And 2 months into the pandemic, got a call and they were like, we need someone. Can you start? And I'm like, immediately. Yes.
And then how was that process? Like, I'm available. Did you have to go in person? Do like an interview?
Well, no, I didn't do an interview in person. They kind of literally just hired me on the spot.
Oh my God.
Like,
it's amazing.
They were like, we need help for this like project.
But keeping it like
you can do it. Yeah. Like based off of all your, like, I think you can do it. Like,
okay.
Come to the office. So I was like totally coming into an office and working like majority of COVID.
Wow. Which is really lucky,
but also really weird because nobody, I mean, everyone was at home.
Right.
I was going to the office every day with my little mask and we get COVID tested. But it was great. It got me out of the house. So I didn't feel like stuck like a lot of other people.
Right. Yeah. And so you did the fashion events and then did you also do like any like film events too?
It was majority fashion events because that's just what I was in. But we worked a lot of award shows.
Oh, nice.
So we would do like Oscars party or like Critics' Choice Awards and like stuff like that. We just kind of jump in.
Let's talk about the Oscars party. How does that go down? Like, what are you doing there?
Yeah. I mean, so I freelance for the, I did a, Elton John does like his AIDS Foundation Oscars watch party. Yes. And I did that this year. It was so much fun. Cool. Yeah. And it's just kind of making sure the flow of everything goes right, you know, celebrities arrive, making sure they get on the carpet, make sure they get their picture taken, make sure they talk to the press, whoever they're supposed to talk to.
Right.
And just making sure that all the flow.
Do they have like a time limit of like, okay, you can only be on the carpet for like a minute max or something?
Kind of. And some of them will show up and be like, I don't want to do one interview. And then it's like, okay, we'll escort them straight to the press.
So they actually have a choice. Like I thought like,
How
does that work? Like, do they, like, do some celebs, like, you know, you have to promote the new movie?
I think it's between, like their agents and their, like, what they work out before. Yeah. And some of them are, like, they've been promised to talk to this press and this. But, like, ultimately, if they don't really feel like doing it, you know, no one's going to force them.
That's fair. Yeah. What about, like, the media? When they're, like, showing up at the Oscars, are they just trying to get, like, interviews, like, from anyone? Or, like, do they have, like, a set, like, I need to interview this, like, one person specific?
I'm sure different media outlets like have a different game plan of like who they're gonna go for, who you know, or who they have like promised to talk to, or you know, the relationship that they've built too with people.
Right.
Because it's funny, like you see the same media people at all these events, and that's like such an interesting industry that I would love to know more about.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
I see them, but I'm like,
I know, I'm like, I see and like, hear about you, but like, tell me more.
yeah. But they're cool, like you know, in between they'll eat pizza on the side and put their little slippers on and they're like, okay. Yeah, it's crazy.
So what was like the best part about working in the Oscars event or like any of these
just
events?
Like, I just love to be in it. I love to be a fly on the wall. Yeah. I love to like, it also gives you such a different perspective because I think it's so easy for us to like compare ourselves and see things on social media for what they are. And like these influencers are going to these parties and it's so fun. And it's so funny to be there and see the back end. And like someone stayed for 2 seconds, took an Instagram picture and left.
So it's
and
maybe like, not even as glamorous.
Right. And you'll go on and you'll be like, that's so hilarious. Like what they're, what they're showing on social media looks so different than what's happening.
Actually happening.
Yeah. And I'm sure you too, like just living in the city peels that curtain back. It's like helpful for my mental health, I think.
I went to the VMAs once and just seeing that like whole thing where they're like, okay, in five, cheer, like you
cheer.
You
do this. They're like holding clap up the applause and you're like, you're like, gonna pass you're out.
Like, okay, I gotta clap now. I gotta cheer.
Like, It's so produced. And
which I didn't even like, you know, because I always used to watch the award shows like growing up and I'm like, wow. Like,
just yeah, like, you just on, like, dream of it.
I'm like, everything flows so perfect. Like everybody knows exactly what they need to do. And you just have a
different perception of what it really is.
Right.
And so to be there and to see it, it's like, it's such an interesting thing.
Is it an all day thing? Or like when do you have to go?
We're there all day.
Okay. It's like 12 hours.
Yeah. It's a long day. So there's, you know, there's prep and there's, you have to walk through and know who's coming, look at the face sheet.
Yeah. So there, everybody's rehearsing beforehand.
Kind of. Yeah. Okay. Kind of. Just like making sure all of our ducks are in a row. So it goes smoothly.
Do they rehearse their speeches too? Like, or is that like, they know that they're going to give a speech and they're like, okay, just rehearse it at home. And then like, you're going to.
Yeah, I'm sure they know.
Because I'm like, how rehearsed is it? Yeah. But that makes, I mean, you have to have some kind of structure. You can't just be like, all right, let's all just figure it out.
There's so many moving pieces that have to like, come together and work that. Yeah.
Oh my God. What's like the most stressful thing working an event?
I think just probably like, making sure that, you know, you're friendly and you know the people and you're making sure that people who aren't supposed to be there are not let in and, and just like dealing with the crowds. Cause a lot of these events literally happen on the side of the street in Hollywood. And so it's like, you know, there's a crowd of people like wondering what it is and just looking or crashers trying to come into the event or whatever.
Oh my God. I'm sure that happens too. Like, what do you like? Is security just like everywhere? Like, no, there's no chance.
Security is everywhere. But the thing about it is like security doesn't have a list. So it's us with the list.
Right.
So it's us making the call.
Somebody can be like, oh my God. Like,
and people go to extremes.
Really?
People will dress to the nines. They look the part. And you're like, okay. Like, am I supposed to know who they are? Like, is it someone big? And then if their name's not on the list, you know, you kind of have to like.
Oh my God.
I know. It's crazy. It's crazy. But it's so interesting to see that aspect. And as someone who's like not chasing that, but like wants to be in that industry, seeing that part of it, I'm like, this is the part that I would never want to experience.
Right.
It looks so overwhelming.
But does that always come with being like a famous like actor or celebrity?
I mean, I think it does. I think that part of it, showing up to the events, you know.
Like if you really want to be that.
Well, it comes with the job. It does come with you have to promote things. You have to go on the talk shows. Right. You have to do press. You have to, you know, you just show up for those types of things.
And
it can be really overwhelming. You know, I walk in so many celebrities to the carpet, whether it's press or photo or just an event. And it's like, I can not smell the fear, but it's like, it's uncomfortable.
Right.
Like all these people just snapping your, you know, picture and like.
So in your face.
Ooh, right. And you're like, does my hair look okay? Yeah. Does my outfit, you know, they'll oftentimes look to us and they'll be like, is there something in my teeth? Am I like, and it's like, I can see how much anxiety it brings. Mm-hmm. So there's never once where someone's walked up and been like,
I got
crushing
this.
It.
Like even the highest A-listers are nervous too. Which
so as much as it looks from the outside like it's this easy effortless thing,
it's fucking terrifying.
And I feel for them, and I'm like, that's a part of the industry that's like really hard. I'm sure.
I always wonder how like some people are so in the media and some are not at all. Like
I think it's a choice too. I mean, you see people like Jennifer Lawrence, Emma Stone, like they don't have active like where the fuck Instagrams. Are they? They don't keep themselves active.
Like, I feel like you don't even see, like, that many paparazzi shots of, like, Brad Pitt or, like, I mean, Leo a little bit more because he has, like, the young girlfriends. And
he'll get caught,
like, slipping, doing some stuff. But, like, there's so many, like, A-list actors that I'm, like, I feel like I don't really like see anything about them.
I think they've just been able to like really fly under the radar.
Right. And then it's like, I'll see like other celebrities that they're like always in the freaking meeting. I'm like, are they doing it because they want to be talked about constantly?
I think if you're more active on social media, you're bound to be more, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Sought after.
That's true. That's true. So I know you work for a very high profile family. We're not going to name the name. I'm sure people can figure it out for themselves if they really want to. So was that the job that you
That's
started
the job in COVID
in the pandemic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Started off as like a project based job, and I've been there for 3 years now.
Wow. So yeah. What kind of like projects, without giving too much away, like were you like working on, or how did it start?
It's just kind of juggling when you work for, you know, A-list celebrities or high profile people, it's just kind of juggling their life. Their lives are really busy and their schedules are a lot. And there's so many things that go into their lives and so many things they don't have time for. And so it's kind of like juggling every aspect of the business side, the personal side, and just like being a team player in a big team.
How do you make time for like your own life versus their life?
That's a good question. It's so hard. Like, it's so hard, especially with jobs that kind of require you to not be on 24/7, but to answer 24/7. It's been so hard for me to juggle. Right. And it's one of those things where I'm like, am I giving up on this acting thing by doing this? But for me, after the pandemic hit and I lost all my jobs, for me, I was like, stability is important.
Right.
And
income is important. Like, you just have to pay your rent.
It's so true. And for me, it's like, I'm not dumb to the fact that I could never book an acting.
No, you know,
I
could.
This could. Yeah. You can, but it also could never happen.
It could just take a really long time.
Right. And so it's like, for me, I didn't want to be, you know, 35, 40, and no offense to anyone out there doing that. I just didn't want to be working in a restaurant industry where that could go away in a second like it did for COVID.
Right.
So for me, it was really important to say, okay, let me start building a career outside of this while also still chasing this.
Right.
And I think it's doable. I think so many people are always like, you can't do both. Mm-hmm. You can't have a career and be an actor. You can't. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
And I think the beautiful thing that COVID helped with, you really can now with self-tapes and not having, you know, no one's calling you at 10 a.m. being like, you have to be in Santa Monica in an hour for an audition.
Yeah. It's now or never. Right.
It doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. It's all self-tapes.
So they're still not even going to go back to like in-person
auditions? A lot of commercials have, but for TV film, all my auditions start with a self-tape.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. So are you able to set that time for yourself, or has it been more focused right now as with your current job?
I balance it.
Okay.
So I stay up really late.
How do you balance it?
You don't sleep.
Give us the tips, because I'm like, I don't know how to balance. Like,
I think it's just what you prioritize. Mm-hmm. And I think that when people are like, I just don't have time, I don't have time, it's like, there's enough time.
You're holding yourself back.
You're holding yourself back. Yeah. And there really is time to do it all.
Yeah.
And it may feel overwhelming and you may be really stressed, but I think if you really want something and you really set your mind to it, that you can make it work.
Right.
You can make it work. So for me, it's just about, first of all, drawing healthy boundaries within my work life. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not paid to be there 24/7. So no, I can't do that today.
Right.
I've been here for 10 hours already. Right. I gotta go.
Is that like an average day in with what you do? With
it, not an average day, but it can happen. And things, you know.
And you're always going in, or like?
I'm usually always there. Okay. Yeah. I'm usually always like somewhere running around the city or in an office or at someone's house or whatever it might be. But for me, it's just about drawing those boundaries and be like, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saving lives. Like this can wait.
Right.
And
your mental health is important too.
Yeah. And it's like, also it's like, I've worked there for 3 years. I'm clearly doing something right.
Right.
And if they didn't, they'll let me know.
Right.
And until then, I'm going to
keep doing what I'm doing. Yeah.
So I think for that, it's prioritizing. You know, I take acting classes for like a 6-hour class once a week.
Oh, cool.
Yep. So it's just, and that's after work. You know,
is that in person?
In person.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's like from 6 to, you know, oftentimes we'll run to like 11:30 or midnight.
Yeah.
And you're just there, and then you go to sleep and you get up at 5 the next day and you go to work. So it's just like,
wow, you start your... Like, you're starting at, like, 5:30.
Yeah, I'll wake up at, like, 5:30, usually. Ooh, I know, it's early.
It is very early.
Yeah. It's not for the week.
Literally. I'm like, okay. And like, what, like, does a typical day maybe look like?
Every day is different. Oh, which is it's what I do love about, like, working in the industry is that I'm not behind a desk every day.
Right.
I don't do the same thing every day. Right. Every single day looks different.
Can that be intimidating sometimes? Like, I don't know what the fuck.
For sure, because I am also like such a planner. I'm like, I like to know what I'm getting myself into.
Me too.
But I don't have that luxury.
Right.
And it's actually, it's been good for me. I'm like, I can't control everything.
Yeah.
How it teaches you patience.
How do you, sure. Yeah, I was going to say, how do you adapt to something like that? For like, because I'm a planner too. I'm like, oh my God, like not knowing.
I think it's just like not taking it so seriously.
Yeah.
Like yeah. I'm just, this is just my job.
Right.
You know, it's not my end all be all. Mm-hmm. It's not what I would want to do for the rest of my mm-hmm. life. But I really had to change my mindset to be like, okay, this pays my bills. Mm-hmm. This allows me to continue to chase my dreams. Yeah. And that's what it is right now.
Right.
And so like show up with a positive attitude right. and get the job done and go home and focus on what you really want to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever have to deal with like any, like if there's ever any like scandals regarding like the people you work for, anything like in the media, good or bad, like do you have to ever deal with something?
No.
Like that?
Luckily, all A-list celebrities have PR teams.
Right.
It's not, right. nothing that I.
What's like something maybe crazy you have to deal with or like kind of not crazy, but like stressful? Or
probably
like,
just expectations, high expectations. You know, yeah. a lot of these A-list celebrities, you know, they have little to no control over their life because
yeah.
they're so busy. It's run by so many different right. aspects and so many people different are involved.
Right.
So it's just really like meeting those high expectations.
Wow.
Yeah. yeah.
Like how many people are you working with like on average, like a day?
Lots. Wow. There's a lot of moving parts yeah. to, you know, make these kind of people's lives run smoothly.
Run smoothly.
Yeah.
yeah.
And I'm just a little tiny single person in that.
No.
yeah, but it is. It's like, it's a whole, yeah.
Do you get invited like maybe to like family parties or like things that are deep or no. it's a very like,
it's a very, yeah, there's a work relationship. There's a line. Yeah. I prefer it that way.
Yeah.
I don't like to be too involved with like
right.
the personal side of whatever I'm doing with work. So right. it's a good balance for me. I feel yeah. like it's.
Where do you see yourself maybe after like transitioning to, or is there any like opportunities you can maybe take from this or like networking?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Networking is like the thing. It's yeah. how I got this job. It's how right. I've gotten like all my jobs mm-hmm. that since I moved here. It's mm-hmm. like, and I think people really underestimate like literally meeting someone in a coffee shop or
yeah.
meeting someone.
Yeah.
Like I know Mike was a guest on your podcast.
Yeah,
when
yeah.
I first moved here, I needed,
met through Michael.
Right
over there.
Yeah. and I met him and his ex-wife now in a clothing store that I worked
no
at.
No way.
And I literally, they were the kindest people.
What
and
store had, was it?
I won't say because it was a terrible job. Oh. I hated that job.
Or like no shout out.
No, literally. But I met them there and we got to talking and yeah. they were the kindest people. And I just was like, here's my number. Like,
that's awesome.
I'll babysit your kids. I'll do. Yeah. And I literally was their
you never
nanny
know.
For, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like, now they're such great mentors to me and
yes.
they're so incredible. And yes. it's like, you never know who you're going to meet. And it's just like, mm-hmm. be kind to everyone mm-hmm. and
yeah, I've been learning that a lot too. Well, they told us like this a little bit in film. So they're like, oh, like just because someone's a PA on one set doesn't mean that they can't give you your next like job opportunity.
1,000%.
And like, that's so true. Cause I feel like people took that with like a grain of salt in school. It was kind of like, yeah, sure. Like whatever. But then like actually working on sets, I'm like, no, 100%. Like it's so different. Like there's been people that literally were PAs on a set. And then the next I saw them like ADing or, you know, they were giving me job recommendations for something else. And I'm like,
yeah.
you never freaking know. So don't be like, oh, I'm too good to like talk to this
it's
person.
It's so true. And yeah. it's also like, take pride in whatever role you're at. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, none of us want to be getting snacks or like right. picking up dog shit or whatever it might right. be that you right. feel like you're starting out. And like,
right.
nobody wants to do it. But the best advice my dad ever gave mm-hmm. us was like, put your head down and work.
Yes.
Like, when you get into an industry, mm-hmm. shut up and prove yourself mm-hmm. because you know a lot of these people they don't know what you're capable of
no.
until you prove it
right
and so it's like you know what you're capable of and sometimes you feel like you're selling yourself short when you accept jobs that mm-hmm. like maybe don't match
right
you know what you envision for yes. yourself yeah no I'm so guilty of it too guilty. I'm like but I'm too good for that I went to college right, right, like right. why would I do that
right
but it's when you are given those opportunities it's like just put your head down and prove mm-hmm. yourself and like be kind to people and just do the work
right
do the grind the
and it sets you apart too because like a lot of people can like say they're gonna do the work but then when it really comes down to
1,000%
how far will they go with
yeah
that,
like- and it's just being a team player right mm-hmm. where it's like I've caught myself in situations being like well that's not my job like I don't want to do that and it's like okay no like be a team player like
yeah.
just you know obviously don't
sometimes it gets annoying
work
but
for
like,
free like
no,
yeah
like some, yeah like in situations like that like where do how do you determine like okay like I need it, like, I should do this and just be a good person because, like, good karma will come back. Or, like, no, they might be taking advantage of the situation.
It's a hard line because
yeah.
I find myself in that scenario a lot. And I think it's just, like, kind of making sure, how long have I been here?
Right.
Have I done a good, like, have I proven myself so far? Am I in the position where I can say something now?
Right.
You know, because, like, obviously 2 months into a job, I'm keeping my mouth shut. Right. But, you know, 3 years into this job, I may have, you know, the leverage now to say, hey, like, you know, I'm doing X, Y, Z. I need to be compensated for it. Or, you know, whatever it might be. So I think it's just about being aware.
Which is huge too. Like asking for like, okay, like I should be compensated for this. Like not feeling like, oh no, like I'm stepping on toes. Cause I
it's so hard.
I get super awkward about that too. Like
girl,
I'm just like,
girl. And especially in the city, like there are so many jobs who are like 40K. It's like, you can't live on 40K in the city. I'm sorry. Like you just can't. And so I think it's just, I think it's also like knowing your worth and knowing the work you're putting in. Obviously, if you're doing a job half-assed and you go in and ask for a raise, but I think when you go in and you prove yourself and you're climbing that ladder, it's like, I think it's...
And say all the things that you've done.
Say all the things. And also, I think it's really important to communicate what you want and where you see yourself. Because a lot of times, you know, I could just go in and work. But if I'm not communicating like what I expect or what I want to grow...
Nobody's going
to
know.
Nobody's going to know. And I think a lot of people struggle with that. And I think a lot of people just wait until, you know, they're like, well, I put in the work. Like, when are they going to see? And it's like... I think it's so important to like pull your boss aside and sit there and be like, this is what I see for myself. I will do the work. Help me get there.
Because especially people of that high profile, they're busy. They're working on their own shit, right? They're not thinking like,
oh. The majority of them are so willing to help because they see themselves in you.
That's great to hear.
Well, I think it's just about reminding and showing them, like, everyone started somewhere. And it's, so it's like, if you can be that person that they can be like, I was you once. Like, I get it. How can I help you?
Yeah, like, and it shows confidence, too.
It's shows
like,
confidence. And
I'm
it's
not
also,
just here to, like, be your, like, right hand and help you with your stuff.
No, and, like, at the end of the day, people know. Like, you don't want to be a personal assistant forever. Like, I mean, some people do. And kudos to you. For me, couldn't be me. But I think it's just about really making it known where you see yourself, the growth, you know, what they can offer you, what you can offer them. And just and like just, not selling yourself short.
So for acting, like, where do you see yourself? Like, what do you want to do? Like, what's your like dream with acting?
It's so funny because it's shifted. I've been here for like almost 6 years now. And for me, I'm a storyteller. Like it may, I've kind of, I've kind of come to this conclusion that maybe it's not in front of the screen. Maybe it's behind the screen. Maybe who knows, Like I just love telling story. And I love being a part of it. I think there's something so magical about watching a TV show, a movie, even a documentary, and like seeing yourself in someone or just like the feeling or whatever it is. I just think it's important. And I think I want to be a part of it in any aspect that I can.
That's super cool.
So I don't know.
But you're giving yourself a lot of options and opportunities. You're not like saying, oh, I can't do this. Or I can't, cause like some people might even say like, okay, like I said acting, so I have to stick to acting. Like,
And I just don't,
you don't have to.
And there's so many parts to creating film and creating television that are so, so important. And like, one does not work without the other. And so
it's a major team thing. It's not just the actors, the director, and the crew. It's like a whole, like,
it's
operation.
It's such an operation. It's just always been fascinating to me. So I'm kind of really open to whatever that looks like for me.
What, like, I mean, now with the strike going on, how are things with your job right now? Like, are you still like secure? Things are good. Like, it's not really affecting that.
No, it's not. It's not affecting that job at all, which is fantastic. Because I'm like, I already to that with COVID. I don't need to be affected again. But
that's how I feel right now. I'm like, why does it feel like I'm reliving the pandemic?
A lot of people in this industry do. It is. But I think we can take a lot away from it. And I think that it's still a time to be creative, right? Like, go out with your friends, whether it's writing a short or just like literally, I'm not a writer, but I can write. Like, anyone can write.
You can come with ideas and brainstorm.
And I'll just like,
maybe you write it, I'll come.
I'll sit at the park and just like literally word vomit ideas that I have. Or get together with friends and, you know, do a photo shoot or I don't know, anything just to like stay creative. It's important during these times.
And balancing your everyday job with your, don't forget your creative career, balance it out. Mental health, all that.
Like, there's too many things to think about in a day. I'm like, okay, gotta go to yoga, so I'm like healthy. I gotta eat healthy.
Yeah, like, when you're squeezing yoga in there too, I'm like, you know, you just, you need like a, like your daily routine, like your schedule. I'm like, how does she
feel? Listen, it's hard. Like, it's hard. And there's weeks where I'm like barely getting on my alarm, not going to a workout, not eating right. But it's like, I think it's just trying to find that like balance for you and what everyone looks different. Everyone's life looks different. Yeah. And just finding out what works for you, right, and what motivates you and what helps you stay sane.
Yeah.
In the insanity of it.
What do you do in your acting school? Like, are you guys doing like improv? Are you guys doing like, do you guys work on like okay, we're all preparing for this like short film together, or is it just like different scenes?
It's scene study, so it's ongoing. So okay, every month you get a partner and you like pick a scene together and then you work on it.
Have you ever worked with someone where you're like, oh shit, like we're not like, I don't know, like maybe the chemistry isn't there.
Yes. Like, no, that's a real thing too, which makes you also understand chemistry reads, mm-hmm, and understand like that aspect that of the industry. That
it's not always there.
No, it's so true, because yeah, sometimes you'll just be with someone and like it's not about physical appearance. Mm-hmm. It's not about anything. Sometimes you're just
not
biting, you're just,
me?
Yeah, yeah. Like your chemistry just isn't there.
It's not there.
And then sometimes you work with people once that someone you don't even know, and it's like freaking magnetizing.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
So it goes to show that a lot of times, you know, when you're auditioning or whatever, and yeah, you're doing chemistry reads or whatever it is,
is there a specific thing with chemistry reads like that you have to do, like, or is it just like you're reading the lines to each other and just seeing if the
yeah, it's kind of, yeah, just, like, so let's say they're casting for like a couple, you yeah, know, they'll do a chemistry read and make sure that
yeah,
they not only look right together, but yeah, yeah, the chemistry's there, the vibe's there,
right,
you know, the audience can be pulled right in by them and believe that
yeah,
you know, these people are in a 10-year marriage or whatever it might be.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's important.
Oh my God. And in acting class, like, are there any, like, if it just doesn't, like, if it doesn't, if you guys don't feel it or connect, like, do you guys, like, talk about it? Or is like, oh, that's
no,
like
I mean,
another,
you definitely have to make it work.
You have to make it
yeah,
work, no matter
because
what.
Yeah, I mean, there's some situations where you may not even like your co-star, whatever it might be. I don't know, yeah, but, you know, that's the yeah, job.
Right.
You got to figure out a way right, to relate to this person, to love them,
yeah,
to like them, whatever it might be.
Work.
Yeah, you just, and that's the hardest part. You really have to open yourself up and just be like, okay, here I am, here you
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
You got a job to do, we got
you
a story
to
tell.
Really vulnerable and everything.
You have to be so vulnerable.
Yeah.
It's like an onion, you have to be like really peeled back.
So you're very comfortable with like being like vulnerable.
It's so funny because in work life,
yeah,
I am like, you can say anything to me
yeah,
and
yeah,
I won't. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then it's like such a mind switch when I go into acting because it's like,
yeah,
you have to be affected by what these people are saying
right,
to you. Whether it's mean, whether it's loving, whether it's whatever it is,
yeah,
you have to let the words affect you.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of telling
right,
a story. So it is weird to go from a whole days of work and then
yeah,
try to like switch my brain into acting.
Right.
Where it's like a whole day of work, I'm like, yeah, I'm doing a terrible job, but I can't cry or break
right,
down.
Do you
it's
ever
like,
pull from like your everyday life to like
bring sure, it for sure,
yeah,
for sure. You have to.
Yeah.
You have to like relate it to yourself somehow to make it feel natural, to make it feel authentic.
Right.
It's like a mind game.
It really is.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I honestly don't think I could do it like in front of the camera.
Anyone could do it. Honestly, acting is just like being human.
Yeah, but it's so vulnerable. No,
it's so
totally
vulnerable.
Totally
it's
agree,
so vulnerable. It's not an easy thing to do.
Right.
But I really believe that like anyone can do it.
Yeah.
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 No,
I tried it and I was like, oh my God, I was so nervous just because like, I don't know. I was like, am I doing the right emotion for everyone? Like,
but that's the
what
thing,
if I'm different sad
that's
than like
the thing,
what their version of sad is? You
but
know,
there
like,
is different sad.
Right.
In
there
real
is,
life.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we may go through the same experience and
right,
I may sob for 5 hours and you may like just be like, go hike or keep
yeah,
yourself busy or whatever
right,
it might be.
Right.
So like, and in storytelling, you're like, you're portraying real life.
Mm-hmm.
So there is not one way to do it.
Right.
And I think oftentimes actors or people who try to act like they get in their head about that and they're
right,
like, I'm not doing what they think I should be doing. It's like, no,
right,
how do you,
yeah,
Carly, like experience this?
Right.
And
right,
like either that works for us or it doesn't.
Yeah. That's 100% true.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to someone who's like maybe even living in Louisiana or another state and is like, I want to make that jump to LA, but I don't know how to do it or like I'm intimidated. Like what are like the first steps like moving to a different state?
I think just committing, like just
mm-hmm,
being like, I'm going to go do this and
yeah,
I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
And obviously everyone in life has different circumstances
right,
and some people are more financially, whatever it
right,
is, I completely understand that it's easier for some people
yeah,
than it is for others. But I think if you really,
mm-hmm,
really set your mind to do something
mm-hmm,
and you really decide like, no matter what it takes,
mm-hmm,
I'm going to do it and I'm going to hit the ground running and
mm-hmm,
I'm just going to grind time.
Yeah.
I think you could do it. And I think even if it doesn't turn out the way you want it or hoped,
right,
you learn and you grow so
right,
much in those
yeah,
experiences.
Yeah.
And it may totally pivot you
mm-hmm,
to something new in life or
yeah,
whatever. So I think it's also just about committing to it and staying open to whatever
right,
it may bring.
Right. Because
yeah,
if you didn't stay open, like, I mean, you were doing business and then like,
right,
you always, you had it like in your mind, like it was there like the whole time, but like maybe from having your parents like say like, okay, you definitely need a degree. Like
yeah,
you pursued business. But do you think maybe if they didn't like say you needed a college degree, do you think you would have went to Hollywood like sooner, or
maybe I also think it was important for me too to get my college degree. I was like already in college. I'm like, yeah, so let's finish what I started,
right?
Type of thing. And I don't know that anyone regrets like finishing.
No,
you know,
yeah, so like oh, fuck,
right, yeah, I have a college degree. Like oh, shit. But I also think that there are roads for people that don't include getting a college degree, and I'm totally supportive of that. For me, that's just what it looked like for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like when, like, do you feel like people ever ask you, like, oh, like, you know, do you have it? Because I feel like people never ask me now, like, oh, like, do you have a degree or a bachelor's degree? I'm like, was it even necessary?
I think that it's almost an expectation now.
Yeah.
That you just, like, it's like if you went to high school, it's like you went to college. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think it's, I don't find it
super like you're necessary, not like, oh, for I a needed lot of the it things. To do the things that I'm
no,
doing.
But I think it helped me mature. I think going to college, you know, changed me in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I learned so much and
yeah.
I took what I could from it and applied it to whatever job I have now.
Love that.
Yeah.
And how have you been seeing, like, the industry change in, like, the last, like, maybe since you first moved here? Like,
oh, my God, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's always changing.
True.
Always changing. I mean, for sure, like, since I moved here, just, like, the boom of influencers. Like, it was a thing, obviously, when I moved here as well, but there was, like, just a handful of them, and it wasn't.
And now it's, like, everywhere, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy. My roommate, she manages influencers. So
oh,
she,
really?
Like, yeah. She's
so you kind of get, like, a little insight.
So I get an insight. I'm like, wow, this is what a crazy
how different is it from, like, kind of, like, what you do? Because, I mean, your scale is kind of, like, they're definitely influential as well.
Yeah.
But now, like, it, like that, maybe the influence that she's doing is more like TikTok influencer.
Yeah, totally. I mean, listen, I'm here for it all. Like,
yeah.
If you can find a way that you can create and you can, there's an outlet for you and you can make that your job, like, power to you.
Right.
Like, I mean, I certainly think I would epically fail as a TikTok star, but
I feel like I missed that, like, age gap. Like, I'm not too, like, I'm too
But
old.
It's also, like, never too late to start. If you're passionate, you know, everyone wants to be so, like, judgmental about people.
That's true.
Who get
I feel like
on
people
TikTok
want to be judgmental
YouTube
about TikTok in general.
Whatever it is. I'm like, let people find their thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay.
People
it's
are always going to judge
you. Don't watch it.
Apps or things that are coming
totally,
out.
And totally.
Like, and it's like, I don't know if I agree with the whole, like, oh, just because you made it on TikTok, you have it easy. I don't think so.
I think it's really challenging. And listen, you have to keep up with it.
Right.
You stop. And
it's not like you make one video and that's it. You have to keep up with, like, the persona that you're putting out there on TikTok or the funniness or whatever. Like, if you're cooked, I don't know, whatever they're trying to sell. But it's not just, like, one video and that's it. They have to, like,
it becomes a job.
It becomes
a
job.
Listen, at the end of the day, even the jobs that you are obsessed with and you love,
have
some days it's a job. And some days it's hard and annoying and stressful. And so, yeah.
Do you feel like sometimes, like, do you think, like, having the whole followers or, like, not as many followers, like, does that ever affect any, like, of your work gigs? Or, like, do people ever ask, like, oh, like, what's your social media like?
There was a point of time where I don't know if it was my manager, my agent, old manager.
Yeah.
Was like, you really should think about growing your following and kind of getting it up there.
But it's like, okay.
And it's just, for me, it didn't feel natural. For me, I power to people who want to influence and, like, want to do that. For me, it's like my social media is an outlet for me to express, like, my art or just my life or whatever I just want to post. I don't ever overthink it.
Right.
And so for me, I didn't want that to have to become, like, a chore or a job. And I also didn't think that I had to grow a following to book an acting gig.
Which is so, like, when I hear, like, I was literally, like, looking at different stuff on LinkedIn because, you know, like, hitting all the platforms.
Yeah.
I'm like, whatever. And some of these, like, job things are like, oh, like, you know, provide your LinkedIn, your Instagram, your whatever. And I'm just like, why does it feel like everything is, like, revolving on, like, how many followers you have? Like, I feel like it's not even about, like, how good or creative you are anymore.
It's so true.
It's like a really, like, weird fine line of
totally. But I think the right projects that fit for you will come and without the price of that.
Right.
If, you know.
Yeah. No, it's hard not to get, like, sucked into that whole.
It's so hard not to get in your head about it. It's so hard not to be like,
yeah,
okay, I'll never be anything ever. Like,
Don't have those doubts. Don't compare yourself to anyone on social media.
But it's, like, so normal to have those doubts too. It's like, it's normal to go on Instagram and be like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I will never, you know, it's so normal. But I think it's just, like, nobody's path looks the same.
Right.
Absolutely no one's.
Right.
Even, you know, Meryl Streep from Brad Pitt from they have all such different stories, I promise you. So I think it's just, like, not comparing. And I think it's, like, doing whatever feels right to you.
Okay. So I wanted to bring something up kind of off topic, but
Titan, not to be confused,
went down to go see the Titanic with, like, five people. I think, like, three of them are, like, billionaires, a scientist, like
I think they're all like somewhat invested in like marine.
Exactly. Like they have money, big, high profile people, and you can pay $250,000. Right? Yeah.
Something like
that. To go and take this like submarine that's like the size of fucking shoebox.
Literally.
They go down to go see the Titanic. It's supposed to be like a 6 to 8 hour journey. And, you know, they come back right up and that's it. And they have 96 hours worth of like oxygen in there. Right? But they didn't come up.
Like the irony. Like, let's go see the Titanic, then you also crash.
Like, with like the literally the full experience.
It's crazy.
That's terrifying.
It's so terrifying.
What do you think happened? Or like, what do you?
Girl, hell if I know. I'm not educated in that field. I feel for the families.
Yeah.
Regardless whether you're a billionaire, whether you're not, it's horrific. It's so
fucked up.
It's so horrific. So terrifying.
That is so.
First of all, you couldn't pay me money to go down there.
Did you see the remote that they used to operate it? It's like,
okay, but apparently I was like looking at, I was watching some other girl be interviewed and she was like, that's not that crazy. She was like, so many of these things are using, I mean, it looks pretty crazy, but she's like, so many of these systems are using like those types of things to operate. And she goes, that's not the craziest part, you know? And I was like, well, is it? Like, the whole story is absolutely insane.
It feels like out of a movie almost. Like, it feels so like, wait, what?
It will be a movie.
And then or a documentary, right?
For sure.
Yeah, I'm like, oh my god, they're gonna go try to find it probably.
It's crazy though.
I just feel like
it's an insane story.
And then they're bolted in too,
right?
You can't even. It's even if they came up to the surface, they couldn't just like pop out. Like you have to have some like machine that like
They're fully bolted inside.
Like that is not looking too good.
Well, it's so funny too because me and my roommates were talking. They're like 2-point-something miles down, and you're like in your head, 2-point-something miles like doesn't seem very far. But it is. When you're on a straight down line
and it's so dark down there.
It's so dark.
Pressure, like, I can't, no. And I'm so claustrophobic, so just literally, like, just thinking about it, I'm like, I would pass out, die, and instantly. Like, there's no way.
Did you see that one of the stepdad? The stepdad or whatever went to
Blink 182 concert.
But I'm like, we don't know their family. We don't know their life. Like, what if they don't even talk?
Playing devil's advocate. I was like, kind of fucked up you went to a concert while your stepdad's missing. But you might not be close, but it's still fucked up.
Literally.
So, you know, Hollywood, I feel like that's like the latest.
Blink 182 has that power over people. Go Blink 182.
Courtney's pregnant? Wait a minute. I just saw an announcement. That is fucking wild. I kind of saw it coming though.
I love when people are like, he definitely didn't know. And I'm like, she definitely.
Yeah. They organized it on the
concert. Yeah. Like,
okay. So I actually know someone that worked the concert where they made the announcement so I think it was SoFi Stadium.
Yeah.
And, the little like confetti that comes out at the end where they like once they made the announcement was like little sperm. Is that like
that's right. Yeah.
So it's like somebody knew.
Also she like has a belly.
Yeah. Right. I'm like, come on.
They live together.
Yeah.
I think they're good.
Figuring it out. Like it's not like you can really keep that a secret, but it's cute how naive
yeah, some really people cute. Are.
But yeah, I mean Courtney's pregnant.
Look at that. News. News topics, baby.
Celebrity news.
Okay. We're like the Titanic and Courtney's pregnant. The only two things we care about.
Such range, you know?
Such range. That's news these
those
days,
were the
though.
Two, I was like, those that's are two literally we like talk about today.
Two top topics in the news. You're like, love that. Love what America cares about.
It's Hollywood, baby.
It's Hollywood.
It's entertainment.
People. So true.
No, I just saw this one thing about where it was like, oh, they actually went down there when you can literally do the Apple VR and have the same experience.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like,
but they weren't. Yes. You know, it's not the same.
It's
apparently.
It's not the same.
It's the same for me. That's all I need.
Okay, well, my last question to wrap things up.
Yes.
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Oh, gosh. Me, like, living on a farm somewhere.
The countryside of France.
No, I don't know. God, I love this question. I hate this question all at the same time. Because
like,
I'm like,
gun to my head. You're like, why would you?
Well, yeah. Because I'm like, so much can happen in 10 years.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, anything can
happen.
Honestly,
I just hope I can be somewhere where I'm loving what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm happy. And I feel like I'm contributing to an industry that I like really enjoy. And,
yeah. Go for your dreams.
Yeah. That's a really broad answer. I'm like, I don't know.
But it's true. You don't really know. But you'll achieve it. You're just going to go after what you really want. You have the time management. You know what you want to do. So I'm sure it will happen. Just keep on going.
Thanks. Look at you, Dr. Phil.
Dr. Priscilla.
Okay, I'm here all the time now.
Therapy 101. Well, if you want that, any like social media or something from you?
Like, I mean, follow me on Instagram if you want.
Yeah.
Carly is my name. Carly Uzay.
Perfect.
Well, I don't really post anything on there, but come on down.
Come on there. Follow. Well, thank you so much for coming, and thank you guys for tuning in.
Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Bye.